Hello, welcome to Flour, Butter, Eggs, Sugar. My name's Kate. I am the host of this podcast, and I'm recording this in my little kitchen in London. So wherever you're listening, I'm really glad that you have chosen to listen to this show. And today I'm going to be talking all about brownies, so I'm really looking forward to it. Here in England, we are currently in a second national lockdown, so I really have no choice except to keep baking to stay sane. And I'm still going to work. I'm a sort of essential worker, so I'm still doing this in my free time, but it's obviously such a nice way to relax. And sort of planning kind of upcoming episodes has been a really nice distraction as well, when I'm feeling a bit sort of tired. So yeah, so today we're going to be talking about brownies. A little bit like last time, we're going to start with a little bit of history. Then I'm going to talk about the ingredients in brownies, common ingredients and different twists on it. Then I'm going to talk about the technique. And finally, I'm going to talk through a couple of recipes that for you to potentially try if I've piqued your interest. So keep listening. And coming next is a short history. Okay, so let's get into the history of the brownie. So the brownie came about at the end of the 19th, turn of the 20th century, and it is an American bake from the USA. The first known recipe is from a woman called Marie Kelly, who was living in Wisconsin, and this was written in 1899. And the first published recipe is found in a book called Home Cooking from 1904, which was a lot more sort of cakey than today's brownies. There are sort of other stories of where the brownie came from, kind of folklore about who might have been the first person to ever make one or try one. But that's the sort of key historical evidence of where these delightful little cakes came from. So next, I'm going to be talking about the kind of most important ingredients of a brownie. Okay, so let's get into the ingredients of a kind of classic brownie. So you will need chocolate, preferably dark chocolate. You will need butter, preferably what some people call European style butter, like really high fat, really, really rich. You will need sugar, which is commonly granulated or superfine caster sugar, but you can use brown. You can use brown sugar. So I'm going to show you a recipe that uses that a bit later on. And you will need eggs, and you will need a bit of flour. So the chocolate is obviously the kind of key flavour that is being brought to the brownie, and using dark chocolate means that it's not overly sweet because you've got sugar in there as well, and you've got butter, which is giving it a lot of richness, and the butter will sort of cut through the intensity of the dark chocolate. So I would definitely go dark chocolate. I used 72% cocoa content chocolate. Yeah, definitely high quality butter if you can. It doesn't mean it has to be expensive. I used a butter that I got in Lidl, which was called West Country. It is the deluxe brand in Lidl, though. I'm not gonna lie, but it's a really, really nice butter. You need sugar because this provides a lot of moisture to the brownie as well as affecting the flavour. And the eggs and flour kind of give the brownie some body. The eggs are extremely important for the texture and giving it a kind of shiny crust, and making it a kind of silky texture. And you want not very much flour, because if you want a fudgy brownie, at least you want not very much flour, because the flour will sort of dry out and will yeah, it'll stop it from being quite as squidgy. Obviously, lots of people add nuts. My favorite is actually walnuts, because I think that the earthiness of the walnuts is really good with the rich flavor of the brownie. But I know my partner's favorite is hazelnuts in brownies, and loads of people like pecans, so lots of options there. Something I came across as I was researching this episode was a lot of people putting chocolate chips in them, which I don't really understand personally, because for me, it's all about the sort of silky texture of the brownie. So I felt that they were unnecessary. And I also came across various recipes that used a raising agent, like baking powder, for example. Which again, I'm not sure as to whether most brownies need this, because you aerate the eggs with the sugar, and that really provides you with a sort of silky texture. So I'm not sure it's really necessary from where I'm standing, but I guess it depends what texture you're going for. And you know, if you don't want it to be quite as dense, you might want to use a little bit of baking powder, but I would really kind of go easy on it, basically. There are lots of different twists to brownies, as you can imagine. So there's a really interesting recipe for cocoa brownies on Food 52, which is a recipe by Alice Medrash. And most brownie recipes, like I said, use chocolate as the main kind of chocolatey component. So that's why they're called cocoa brownies, is because that's actually a bit unusual. Salted caramel are really, really popular. Definitely a favourite with my partner. And I like any excuse to use dulce de leche, especially the stuff you can get from a can, which I think is brilliant. There is a really good recipe on the BBC website by Jane Hornby for salted caramel brownies. So, if you don't want to try the salted caramel brownie recipe I'm going to share at the end, you could instead use her recipe, which I have used for various people's birthdays, and it was really delicious. There are also Ed Kimber had a recipe for turtle brownies, which is sort of caramel and pecan. And Nadia Hussein, in her book Nadia Bakes, uses sort of mixes together dulce de leche and chopped hazelnuts for a layer in her brownies, which is a really nice idea as well. People use different flours in brownies as well. So basically, if you develop the gluten as little as possible in the flour, then you will get a much more fudgy bake. Or if you use very little flour as well. But you can also bring different flavours to it as well. So Claire Burnett uses rice flour in her recipe, which I found through Radio 4 Woman's Hour. She and a kind of they produce a podcast of the kind of cooking segment, which is called Cook the Perfect, which is basically the only bit I listen to. So she was on it making kind of the perfect, in inverted commas, brownies. She used rice flour to get it as fudgy as possible, you know, with very little or no gluten. Ed Kimber uses rye flour, and so does Claire Patak. I hope I'm saying that name correctly, by the way. And she is from Violet Bakery. I was kind of intrigued by this, so I did try this one out because I like the idea of the richness of the rye flour being kind of married with the chocolate. I really like that idea. You could use ground nuts as well. That would be very luxurious. But like I was saying in the shortbread episode, when you are using ground nuts, you may want to be a little bit careful about your fat content because you don't necessarily want it to be overly greasy. So that's something to maybe think about. But on the other hand, it would create a really incredibly fudgy brownie, wouldn't it, to just use ground nuts or to use half ground nuts, half flour. So that might be worth trying. In terms of some other kind of twists, I'm just going to take a sip of water. Nigella has a two-ingredient Nutella brownie, which I've made before, and it is incredibly rich. After two slices, I actually felt quite sick, but it was quite nice. And it's literally just Nutella and eggs. And it sets up in the oven basically like a mousse. So it's quite a strange, intriguing recipe. Speaking of Nigella Lawson, I'm sure she'll get mentioned at least once in every episode because I love her. So she has a really good recipe for chocolate olive oil cake. So obviously, this isn't really a brownie. But if you can't eat butter, it's really worth a go, this one, because it's rich and fudgy and chocolatey. That's why I've included it in my brownie episode. And when I've made it for friends' birthdays and things, it's had a very, very good reception. Very good reception indeed. So that's a really, really good recipe, Nigella Lawson's chocolate olive oil cake. The kind of fruitiness of the olive oil really, really complements the fruitiness in chocolate. I found a good recipe on the food blog, the Sweetest Menu, which is a really good food blog that I've used recipes from in the past. You can often make really delicious vegan things with chocolate, because you can really kind of bring out all of the different flavors within the chocolate, because when you use things like butter and egg yolks, it's kind of it's a nice flavor, but it actually slightly changes the flavor of the chocolate. So it's kind of might be slightly dulling some of the chocolate flavor. So yeah, that's a good shout to use that one. There's lots of recipes for water ganaches as well, which is about, again, it's about bringing out the full kind of chocolate flavor. And in that Sweetest Menu recipe, I wondered about maybe using olive oil instead of vegetable oil, because I think that could make it even better. I've also come across various kind of salty nuts recipes. So Rukmini Iyer is one of my favorite food writers, absolute favorite food writers. I've got all of her roasting tin books. And in the quick roasting tin, she has a recipe for a salted peanut brownie, which uses olive oil and peanut butter and peanuts. So it sounds quite indulgent and rich, but probably extremely delicious. Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about some more kind of controversial twists that I've come across in brownie making. So something that's been really big on the internet is cheesecake brownies, and there's a recipe for this in Nadia Hussain's latest book as well. there are also recipes for cheesecake brownies in various food blogs. Sometimes it's kind of swirled into the brownie mixture to have sort of give a marbling effect. But I am really skeptical of this, so I haven't tried it yet, and I wondered if any of you might have tried it and what you might have thought of it. Another thought I had was, well, if you want that kind of if you want that kind of sourness to kind of cut through the rich brownie, you could just serve a small spoon of creme fraiche on the side of the brownie. I'm not sure this is making the whole cheesecake layer is really worth the effort for me. I've also seen people putting kind of leftover sourdough starter into brownies. And I wondered if anyone's tried these because I haven't. I love sourdough bread. I make sourdough bread, but this didn't really appeal to me, to be honest. But I have heard some people saying that they're quite good. So I'm wondering, like, does it make the brownie chewy? Does it change it in any way? Like, what is that like? I've also seen something called slutty brownies, which is a cookie base, then an Oreo a layer of Oreo cookies or similar, and then a brownie layer on the top. And I just do not understand this. Okay, so you'll notice through these episodes that I often have strong opinions about things that don't matter, particularly when it comes to food and especially desserts and puddings. I just don't get it. Like, why are you doing this? Why does it need a cookie base and an Oreo layer? Like, I just think brownies are perfect as they are, to be honest. S'mores brownies is another thing I've seen. So, s'mores is a kind of snack, if you're not aware, where you have like toasted marshmallow and a graham cracker, which I guess the closest thing in the UK is probably a digestive biscuit, and chocolate. So it's those three elements. So the s'mores brownie has maybe like Italian meringue, which is a little bit like a marshmallow on top, or maybe it has marshmallows dotted in it. But I just don't get why we're doing this to brownies. I just don't really understand it. Something else I've seen is people adding raspberries. I do understand this because I love chocolate and raspberries together. And I think if you use a fairly small amount, it would be quite good. You have to be careful when you're putting fruit in cake because it changes the moisture levels really drastically, when you're using fresh fruit anyway. So that's something to be aware of. Maybe go easy on how many you actually put in the thing, and then serve a few more on the side if you want to. But yeah, I've seen that and it sounds nice. And my auntie Christine, who I hope is listening, she recently made some raspberry brownies which sounded really, really good. So hopefully, maybe once we're out of this second lockdown, I might be able to visit her and try some. And then I just wanted to give a quick nod to the idea of putting brownie into a pie, because this is maybe a bit more controversial, but I actually really like the sound of it. So my favorite baking podcast that ended recently, Preheated, anyone that has listened to that as well will be familiar with the lauded renowned chocolate chess pie from Spicy Southern Kitchen, which Andrea and Stefan, the hosts, kind of raved about. So that's something that I'm going to try and make quite soon because it sounds really delicious. And even though I've been listening to that podcast for years and never managed to get round to making that. Yeah, but I've seen other versions of similar kind of ideas around as well. I don't know why, but the idea of a brownie in a short crust pastry for some reason just really appeals to me. Okay, so that is the end of the ingredients section, and we are now going to be talking about technique. Welcome back to Flour, Butter, Egg, Sugar. I'm still Kate, and I'm still talking about brownies. So I am going to be talking a little bit about the technique of making classic brownies now. So you basically need three bowls on the go to make brownies. You need a melting bowl, you need a whisking bowl, which is should be the largest one, and you need a sifting or measuring bowl for dry ingredients like flour. So you melt your butter and sugar together gently and slowly. You could do this in a bain-marie, so over a pan of simmering water in a bowl. I do just do it in the microwave, to be honest. But as long as you don't leave it in the microwave for ages and forget about it, and just do it in short bursts, you should be fine. You know, just do 30 seconds at a time, and that should hopefully prevent you from burning the chocolate. But if you're scared of that, then just do it in a bain-marie, and make sure that you've got boiling water in the pan, or simmering water, but it's not the bowl isn't touching that water. So you melt butter and sugar together. In your whisking bowl, you whisk whole eggs and sugar, and I think it would be quite difficult to whisk this by hand. I use my little electric hand whisk to do this, which is like 15 quid, and it's been keeping me going for about 4 years at this point, so worth the investment, I reckon. So you whisk whole eggs and sugar together, and what you're trying to reach is a sort of ribbon consistency. So you might see this phrase being used in various recipes, and it means that you can see a kind of trail of the whipped mixture when you bring the whisk up. The trail doesn't stay there for more than like half a second, a second, but you can see a little trail. That's ribbon consistency. And you're not going to really get it much more aerated than that because of the fat in the egg yolks. If you were going to really, really go for it and make a meringue, you would use egg whites and you would skip the egg yolks. But we want egg yolks in a brownie because we want it to be rich. So ribbon consistency is perfect, and that'll make a really nice kind of silky brownie. And then in your third bowl, you will sift in or maybe just fork through some flour and potentially a bit of cocoa if you are using cocoa, and potentially a bit of baking powder if you're using a bit of baking powder. So you will do that. And so I just fork it through to remove lumps because it's not meant to be, a brownie is not meant to be light and airy, is it? So I don't personally see the point in sifting it a lot. But you just want to avoid having lumps of flour in your batter. So once you've got those three bowls ready, okay, and you've let the melted chocolate and butter cool for a bit, you pour that into the egg mixture and combine it. And I just do this by hand with a spatula. I think that's basically better than using a whisk because I don't want to overmix it and like make and sort of knock the air out. If you were going to be really quite like fussy, you could use a metal spoon instead of a spatula because that would help retain even more air. Yeah, but I just do that bit by hand. And then at the end, I will stir in the flour again, just by hand. So you may want to add nuts while it's still a batter. So you could toss them in a tiny bit of flour, like a teaspoon of flour, and that will stop them from sinking. You could also just stud them into the batter once you've poured it into the pan. That's what I tend to do. And then I get a kind of even spread of nuts throughout the mixture. But I would definitely recommend always pre-roasting your nuts whenever you're using them in baking, because it brings out loads more flavour and it stops them from being kind of dusty, which some nuts, especially walnuts actually, can get a bit dusty. So once you've done all that, you will then you may need to do a layer in the middle depending on what you're doing. But you pour that into a prepared lined pan, and bake it for about half an hour, sometimes a little bit more, until you've got your sort of brownie is setting around the sides, but it might still be a bit wobbly in the middle. So that is the core technique in making brownies. And in the final section, I'm going to suggest two brownies that you might want to try making yourselves. You're listening to Flour, Butter, Eggs, Sugar. This is Kate, and I'm just going to be talking through now the recipes that I'm going to recommend to you. So these will be in written form on the website, which is flourbuttereggssugar.wordpress.com. And if you are going to bake along, then I would love to hear how it went for you. There is a Facebook group with a few of us in it now, which is called Flour, comma, Butter, comma, Eggs, comma, Sugar, podcast listeners. And you can also email me flourbuttereggssugar@gmail.com. So I would love to hear from people who are baking along or using any of the other recipes I've mentioned, or maybe you've found a really good recipe that you want to recommend to others. All opinions welcome. Okay, so these two recipes that I'm going to share with you are, one is for hazelnut and caramel brownies, and then the second is for dark chocolate, rye and walnut brownies. For the hazelnut and caramel brownies, this is a recipe that I've sort of cobbled together from different sources and I've adapted it to my own tastes. So it's really fudgy. It's quite rich, but it's not overwhelmingly sweet. And it's nutty and salted caramel and delicious. Just yummy. So for this, you will need 300 grams of dark chocolate. I use 72% dark chocolate. 250 grams of butter. I used unsalted because I'm going to salt the caramel. Four large eggs. So this is UK large, which is about 60 grams per egg. So if you're using a different size, you can just measure them by weight. So you want 240 grams of egg. 200 grams of caster sugar or superfine sugar. 100 grams of plain flour. A shot of strong coffee, so about 25 sort of milliliters. You can also weigh that in 25 grams. If you don't have the means to make a shot of coffee, not to worry, you can mix a teaspoon of instant espresso powder with a couple of teaspoons of water, and that will do nicely as well. You then will need 200 grams of hazelnuts, and preferably blanched hazelnuts, by the way, although I can explain how to remove the skins. And a tin of dulce de leche or a jar of caramel. You could make your own as well if you want to. And 1.5 teaspoons of sea salt flakes. So these are the large flakes. I use Malden. If you were going to use fine salt, then you would use a lot less than 1.5 teaspoons, because it's the granules are finer, so that would be a lot more salt. Okay, so the technique is the same, right, as mentioned before. You would stir the coffee in to the batter after you've done everything else, basically, towards the end. You would layer this in the tin, so you've got a prepared dish of quite a large dish, so of sort of 15 by 25 to 30 centimeters, or 9 by 12 inches. So you've lightly greased it, and then you've put some baking paper in it. You put a layer of brownie. You leave at least half of the brownie mixture for the top. Then you spread over your dulce de leche and salt. Then you sprinkle on top of that some roasted hazelnuts. So you need to pre-roast these if they're not already roasted. And you could use, I use chopped, but actually I think using whole would be really, really nice. So you'd need, the way I roast nuts is in a low oven for like 10 to 15 minutes. And then if they aren't skinned already, you can skin them by rubbing them together in a tea towel to remove the skins, obviously when they've cooled down a little bit, otherwise you'll burn yourself. So you've got, then you would put on the nuts, roasted nuts. I use 200 grams of roasted hazelnuts, and then you put the rest of your brownie mixture on top of that, and then you put it in the oven, or sort of low moderate oven. I did gas 4, but on a higher shelf because my oven burns everything from the bottom. So around about 180 degrees C, 160 degrees fan, or 350 Fahrenheit, or maybe a tiny bit lower than that. And then you are baking it for around 35 minutes. So it's still got a wobble in the middle of it. Bear in mind as well, because it's a large kind of slab of brownie. Well, it's not a slab, but you know what I mean? It's a large quantity of brownie. Once you get it out of the oven, it will continue to cook in its residual heat because its surface area is big. So you don't want to overdo it on the baking front there. Okay, and the second recipe I've got to share with you is for dark chocolate, rye, and walnut brownies. So these are adapted from a recipe from Ed Kimber, and I've also nicked a couple of bits from Claire Patak, who is from Violet Bakery. She included walnuts in hers, and I've also adapted it to my own tastes a bit. So I've taken out the baking powder because I like it fudgy, and I don't think it's necessary. I've taken out some of the sugar and the cocoa powder because you don't, if you don't have cocoa powder, you don't need the sugar. And I think that's about it. Oh, I'm taking out the vanilla extract because I couldn't taste it, so I don't see the point. So the ingredients are 175 grams of wholemeal rye flour. This gives a really like nutty, sort of flavorful taste to the brownie. 250 grams of butter, salted butter I used here. 300 grams of dark chocolate. Again, I used about 72% chocolate. 150 grams of caster sugar. 150 grams of light brown sugar. 4 large eggs. Again, the same UK large applies here. So that's 240 grams if you're going to weigh. And 100 grams of roasted walnuts. You could go a bit higher with that actually. You could go up to 150 or even 200 grams if you want to. So the technique again is the same. You've got your three bowls, you whisk your eggs and sugar, you mix in then your chocolate and butter, and then you finally fold in the flour. And then just to end, you would then either stud in the walnuts when you've put it into the pan, or you could toss the walnuts in a tiny bit of the flour. Maybe remove two teaspoons of flour, toss the walnuts in that, and then you could fold them in. And you can do the walnuts in whatever size you like. So I did mine whole, but I think not whole, sorry, in halves, which is how I normally buy them. But you could make them slightly smaller, and I think that would actually work better. So maybe in quarters would be good. And you obviously need to pre-roast them as usual. So low oven, 10 to 15 minutes if they're walnut halves. And then you might want to skin them. They're quite delicate walnuts, they're not like hazelnuts, so it can be a bit of a tricky job. I left most of the skin on mine. I just left most of the skin on, to be honest. So it's not as big of a deal with walnuts. The skin is quite thin. So those are my two recipes. Sorry, I forgot to say those would be put in the oven at moderate heat. So gas for 180 C, 160 fan, 350 Fahrenheit for about 25 minutes. I pulled these at 30 minutes, but I think they were slightly too done for my taste. So I think Ed Kimber's original instruction here of about 25 minutes is probably right. But judge it based on how it looks to you. So is it still wobbly in the middle? Is it set around the sides? That's what you're looking for. Right, so I really hope that you try these. I've really enjoyed making this episode about brownies, and I hope that you've managed to pick up some tips or ideas, things that you might want to try at home. Next time, I'm going to be looking at currant buns. I'm really excited about this. So I'm going to be delving into a little bit of history about all of the different varieties of currant buns in Britain. So these are a sort of enriched bread, basically. And I'm going to be trying out a couple of different recipes. One is going to be for Cornish saffron buns, so I'm going to have to get a loan out to buy that saffron. And the other one I'm going to try is just some nice Yorkshire tea cakes. I can't wait. I'm really excited to make that episode and to share what I find with you. I hope that you've enjoyed listening, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. Bye. Happy baking. Take care. Flour, butter, eggs, sugar is written, performed, and produced poorly by Kate in her small London kitchen. Hope you've enjoyed listening today. Take care and happy baking. Bye.